todo el mundo.
But this was really
1981.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Lane Wilson, author of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series and director of the documentary The Ventures, Stars on Guitars. This is your destination for all things rock, where the interviewees include musicians, authors, historians, filmmakers, and more. And now, on to the show. My guest today is music historian and author Madeline Baccaro, who is returning to talk some more about her book, In Your Mind, The Infinite Universe of Yoko Ono. She's here to celebrate Yoko's 92nd birthday and to talk about how many doors have opened following the publication of this very lengthy and well-researched book. Let's get Madeline on the line now. Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast, Madeline.
Thank you, Stacey.
I see that you have been getting some really great critical acclaim on your book, and it's been out for a while now. So what responses or insights from readers surprised you the most about how they perceive Yoko Ono?
A lot of my readers already loved Yoko, and they're really thrilled and amazed to be learning so much more about her. And most importantly to me, her colleagues and family and friends are loving it. So that's an honor. And I hope that more of the misinformed people will read it and learn more of what they've heard. You know, they've heard about her as a lot of lies. So I'm really hoping that they'll pick it up as well.
I was misinformed and I learned so much from your book. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm very happy about that.
Well, as we approach Yoko's 92nd birthday, what aspects of her artistic legacy do you think are most relevant to contemporary audiences?
The aspects of her art, which will always and forever be relevant, are she strives for peace and showing us how to mend and heal. And we can participate and interact with her work. And I think that's an eternal kind of joy that we can experience through generations. And her work was to achieve, you know, healing in her own life. And she's just sharing, you know, she went through a lot of trauma and she's an expert at it pretty much. So she's sharing it with us all.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the trauma and the tragedy, this year marks the 45th anniversary of John Lennon's passing. So having researched their relationship as deeply as you have, how do you think that Yoko's artistic evolution in the decades since his death reflects or differs from their collaborative work?
The collaborative work, first of all, it wasn't even meant to be because she thought that John was going to continue with the Beatles and she could continue her work. But when he told her he was leaving the Beatles, she said, she was terrified. She said, what am I going to do? He's not going to be preoccupied with them. How am I going to do my work? But they jumped in and they worked together seamlessly. And Most of those ideas were hers. Let's do the bed event. People are going to be watching us anyway, so we might as well capitalize on the attention and let's talk about peace and the war is over posters. A lot of the concerts, she made music just as much as John did, and he gave her a beat and kind of reined her in from her freeform music, and she gave him the freedom to be himself and get a little wild. So, and then she just continued in that vein. I mean, she just was herself all the time. Her art was always very honest and came right from her soul. And nothing's really changed all that much, except it's just in different iterations.
Is she in retirement now, or what is she up to these days?
Yeah, she's pretty much in retirement. But it's funny because in her retirement, her work has been more active than ever. It's traveling in exhibitions worldwide. There's something on in Germany right now. There was just a huge exhibition at the Tate Modern in London. And, it's just going on. There's a symposium this weekend, which I'm part of at the Park Avenue Armory. 2 days of Yoko Ono topics being discussed and concerts in tribute to her. It's going to be really cool. I'm going to do a reading there.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
fantastic.
it's going to be nice.
Congrats. Yeah, this I feel like this book has really brought out a great kind of career for you in a way.
Yeah, a career after retirement.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's getting so much attention. You can't just sit back and wait for people to read it. It's great to get out there and meet other fans, isn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely. After all this time and still going on, like when I was into her when I was much younger, it was very hard to find anyone to talk about her with. You couldn't find the records. You couldn't, it was very difficult. But now I have a lot of friends already online, especially. But it's going to be nice to see more people in person over the weekend.
Definitely. And you explore her spiritual nature in the book, healing methods that she's practiced. How do you think her philosophies and approach to peace activism continue to resonate with new generations of people who weren't even around when John Lennon and she were in the spotlight?
Well, I think it's just so organic and vital to our existence. Everything she's presenting, all the wisdom that she's sharing is really beneficial to anyone. All of us, it's very hard to get by in this society, no matter who you are. I mean, you can see, right?
Yeah.
So, she's just has a reverence to nature. She's always been talking about ecology. She's got a sympathy for feminists. Activity, and she's one of the early pioneering feminists. And we still all want the same things. We all want peace, basically. And she's just showing us that it is possible if we're all like-minded and we keep really hoping for it and doing what we can in our communities. And it's odd because any artist that would want to capitalize on their work, you would think would use these elements in their work. And, she really never thought of making money from her art. She was just driven to do in this direction, to do these things and help people and put forth the truth. And, people call my book The Bible of Wellness because it's full of quotes from her. And it's mind-blowing. You have to stop and read them over and over because they're just so beneficial and revelatory, really.
Yeah, it's the kind of book that you can definitely revisit at different times, I think, in your life and get different things from it. Now we kind of touched on the misunderstandings and negativity that Yoko faced as a Beatles wife, I guess mainly, but also as an Asian woman. There was some racism there. How has public perception shifted since you first began following her career back in the 60s?
Well, it has and it hasn't. There's still those people who were raised listening to the misinformation and it's ingrained in them and they're never even going to open their eyes. They're never going to listen. But now there's other generations that have come up without hearing all of that and they'll see a picture of her or they'll hear her music or one of her little poems or something, and they'll say, "Gee, she's really cool. They dress like her. They wear the wedding outfit and the mini skirt and the glasses, and they find her really fun, and children enjoy the exhibitions. Young people really appreciate her now.
Well, your book also kind of goes back before, it goes great detail actually before she ever met John Lennon and her experience during wartime Japan, her journey as an artist. How do you think these early experiences shaped both her relationship with John, but also her enduring influence on pop culture?
Well, she had an awful childhood, very traumatic. Child of the World War II in Japan, had to escape the bombings, be sheltered, look for food. I mean, it was really traumatic. And John was born, of course, in 1940 during wartime in Liverpool. And they also both suffered from parental abandonment. So they had, like, they really bonded over these things. And they were the most famous couple in the world, but they didn't come off as celebrities. They were just always trying to reach out, communicate, heal. And they were relatable and sincere. So that's what I think resonates. And, it's just a very positive influence that they've always had. So it's never
Yeah,
been.
it still resonates today.
Yeah.
I know that this book is still keeping you very busy, but I'm wondering if you have any other books planned or any projects in the works that we can look forward to.
Well, I'm still busy promoting this. Listen, it's a almost 600-page book. It took my whole life to really compile it, and it needs to be read. So I'm not going to give up on it. I'm just going to keep promoting. And on popular demands, I might be putting the contents of my music blog together in book form. So that's kind of, I'm twiddling with that on the side. And that's
Oh, that'll be fun.
madelinebooks.com. It's massive. So I don't have to curate it somehow and get it all because people love the stories of, my attending concerts and befriending the people as a writer and, interviewing people that I did. So I try to condense that into some kind of cohesive book.
Oh, okay. I think I inadvertently interrupted you. What was it? It's a website.
Yeah,
What?
it's my music. It's a blog, my music blog, and it's madelinex.com.
Right. Yes, I've been there. MadelineX.com. Very, very fun reading. To wrap up, can you let people know where they can buy, in your mind, the infinite universe of Yoko Ono? Can they get it from you? Can they get it signed? Is it?
Yes. They can get it on Amazon worldwide, the soft cover. And if you want the signed book, soft or hardcover, with the if signed by me, of course, not Yoko, those are exclusively available at conceptualbooks.com. And the website is inyourmindbook.com, where you can read more reviews and see book talks that I've done and all kinds of stuff. And it leads you to the shops as well.
Right, all kinds of goodies. Well, thank you, Madeline. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me, especially it's right around the corner, Yoko Ono's birthday. So that's
92.
great timing.
Thank you. I appreciate you and your good work too.
This concludes another episode of the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. Remember, there's a book series too. All the books are available in paperback, ebook, and audio via Amazon or the Rock and Roll Nightmares website. That's ROCK-N-ROLL-Nightmares.com. Our official theme song is She's Out for Blood by Fuzzbuster, founded by Lars Cabot. Thank you for listening.